Hey, we're going to read some scripture here today, and I want us to go Presbyterian and read it together. You know what I'm saying? They do that in the Presbyterian churches. They read together. I like that stuff. So we're going to read 6 verses of scripture, and each verse is in a different place in the Bible. So just take a look at the screen. We've got them for you there. First one is going to be Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Are you ready? Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. I can do all. Was I by myself there for the first? Oh, she didn't have it on there. My bad. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this. Let's read it together. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Let's read Ezra chapter 10 and verse 4. Arise, for it is your task, and we are with you. Be strong and do it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. I love that. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Lastly, Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let's pray. God, your word is amazing and incredible. Lord, we thank you for the power that sits behind your word. And God, I pray that as we receive your word, God, I thank you for the ability to hear it. But Lord, even alongside that, we thank you for the ability to live it, and I pray that determination be in our lives today. Lord, guide me as I give it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're inside of our Summer at the Movies series here at Journey Church this summer, and we're at week 3. And if I were to put a title on today's talk, it would be this: Designed to Survive. Designed to survive. Can I just tell you this? You are designed to survive. And if I were to put a movie to that title, it would be this movie, 127 Hours. How about that one to prove the point that you are designed to survive? Anybody ever seen that movie before? That is a wild movie. If you have not seen that movie, I encourage you to take a look at that movie, because that movie depicts a true story. It's a true story of avid hiker Aaron Ralston, who on April 26th, 2003, found himself in an unforgettable circumstance in the canyons of Utah, where he was stuck for 127 hours, about 6 days, because of this that happened. Take a look at this video. Now, if you ever complained about your day today, just go ahead and take that complaint back right now. How many know that right there would be a situation? You're in the middle of nowhere, trapped in a canyon, and he had his arm smashed and wedged under the pressure of an 800-pound boulder. Again, 127 hours is just about 6 days. It's one of the most unbelievable stories of survival in recent memory. I consider this movie a classic in that it captures the essence of the resilience of the human spirit and demonstrates again the design that we have been given as human beings to survive difficult situations. I mean, I'm certain you can just tell. I'm excited about this movie, man. I've waited to get to this one. I could do a 40-week series on this movie alone. But what I want to do in this movie here today and how it holds hands with this message is I want to divide this movie into four parts, which is sort of offensive given there's so much more to this movie than just four pieces that I'll be mentioning. But of all the mile markers that exist in this movie, I want to focus on four of them. And these four mile markers are going to be our main points here today. Number one, he fell into a canyon and he prayed to get out. Number two, he hosted a talk show in the canyon. Number three, he cut his own arm off. And number four, he walked out of the canyon. That's going to be our talk here today. So let's just dig in here to the first part here in this message again that I call Designed to Survive. Here's point number one. Aaron Ralston fell into a canyon and prayed to get out. Now, if you're a follower of this story at all, or even particularly this movie, just in the movie, you don't see prayer really in the movie. You don't see Aaron Ralston praying in the canyon in the movie, but that's a mistake Hollywood made because it happened quite often. Aaron Ralston's a believer, and in his book, you see him dialoguing. He's sharing, he's journaling in this book of his spiritual state and the prayers that he prayed in this canyon for God to do something. You see it in mainly all of his interviews. He did an interview exclusively with ABC News, and you see it even with other news outlets that in his interview that where he said while he was in the canyon, he offered several prayers to God for help. Prayers like, God, please do something. Prayers like this: Jesus, lift the boulder off of my arm so I can live. Prayers like this: God, if you love me. How many be praying that prayer right there? Like, if you're real, please do this miracle in my life, because left here I'm gonna die. Prayers. Now, you would think of all the prayers approaching heaven's mailbox that day, this would be one that should probably get express delivery to the throne room. Like, and again, once received, God should probably do something about it. You would think that if God were to intervene in anyone's situation on April 26, 2003, it would be this one. Heck, I don't even know what I was going through April 26, 2003. But if I'm in front of him in line of the prayer request, I'd be like, dang, I'm going to get out of line here. Answer his prayer. He needs it more than me. Like, this is an intense prayer that you would think if somebody's praying, God would answer it. But despite the prayers, despite the heartfelt requests of faith and belief that God, who we all read, can do anything in any situation for anybody, you would think God would do something here. But despite his pleas to God, I want to make a point here. Think about it. The boulder was never lifted. As much as he prayed for it to happen, the boulder was never lifted. And that had to be insanely discouraging. You can't tell me that Aaron Ralston on that day in that canyon did not feel abandoned. You can't tell me that Aaron Ralston on that day did not feel hopelessly alone, because where he was, no hiker really goes. It was alone time. The boulder was never lifted. Why is that? Right? Why? You read scriptures and God did some incredible things. Well, why wasn't the boulder lifted? How discouraging that would have had to have been. What a spiritual struggle we would face in that moment. I think sometimes it's so easy for us to allow the pain we feel in difficult times and situations to do a few things to us. One of them being, they can create a belief that God is nowhere near us, nor does he care. That disaster equals distance. That our pain tells us that God is out of our reach. How many have ever been there before? Right? Where you're praying, where are you and do you care? Because you're experiencing that pain. And we don't see the evidence. We don't see him. Like where are... And we begin to feel that. And that God isn't next to us. That God doesn't care. And that can't be true. Because if his word is true, then that can't be true. Because his word says, I mean, how many scriptures are in here on God being close to us, right? At all times. On God being near to us. At all times. Matthew 28, Jesus himself said, behold, I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. Deuteronomy 3:6, God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your cares, all your requests on me, for I care for you. Psalm 56:8 says that God is so close to us, he holds our tears in a bottle and records our moans on scrolls. Like, he is next to us. Do you have that picture of the Dells, Corinne? This is the Prescott Dells. It's called the Granite Dells in Prescott, Arizona, which is where Miss and I lived. And you could see this from our house. If you zoomed in from our driveway, like, this is what you could see right here. It's a beautiful landscape here. We were so blessed to be able to live there and see all of that. You see those shadow mountains in the very back? That's Flagstaff. That's 100 miles away from where this picture is being taken. It's just a beautiful landscape. But this is the Dells, and we lived in Prescott while our boys were like 4, 5, 7 years old, and we would go, and we would go on adventure hikes a lot. And Javen is what I would consider to be an ambitious climber. Like, he likes to climb. This is a kid that has always loved to climb. We take him to rock climbing school in the summer. Like, he loves that stuff. And he's had that in him from an early age. And there was a time where we were climbing through these dells one time. I'll never forget it. And Missy and I and Mike. Now, Mike is a little bit more reserved. He's a little bit more reasoned. And so he won't go places where he knows he can't get back down. But Javen, does anybody have a psychopath in their house? Amen. Like, Javen will just go. He don't care. There's no consequences. Things will work out. And so he's climbing, like, up there in one of these spots. And I remember he got so high up there, it really got to dangerous. And he didn't know what to do in that moment. Like, how am I going to get back down? He didn't know how he got there, and he didn't know how to get out. And I remember Missy just... Like, she didn't know what to do. Like, we got to do something. Like, it was she was losing it, right? This is like, oh man, this is dangerous levels here. Like, our son's about to, she's like, go get him, you know? And I'm just thinking, I'm not going to go up there. Like, I'm going to risk my life for that kid. Like, you know, so it was just a crazy thing. I'm just kidding, but, you know, sort of. And we were sitting there and we were just seeing him there. And I remember Missy's like, you got to do something. And I remember thinking, I'm just listening to her, and she's freaking out, and Javen's a little freaked out, and Mike is laughing, and we're just like, And I'm watching him, because he's up there. And really, the only way down in his mind in that moment is death. Like, I'm going to fall. It's gone. But I remember saying to him, because he's like, here, come and help me. Get me out of this situation. And I'm watching. I'm looking at how he got there, and I was like, and Missy's telling me, get up there, get up. And I'm thinking, wait, no. And I remember telling Missy this, he can do this on his own. Like, he can get down on his own. And I remember telling him that, hey, you can do this. You got up there, you can get down from there. Just look around and figure it out. You can do this. And I watched him assess where he was at. And look back at the history of the journey that got him there. And he started to see where he could put his foot. He had to stretch in places. But again, I trusted his abilities. Now, there's some kids I would not trust their abilities. But he had done this a lot. So I trusted his abilities. And I watched him get down on his own without me intervening. Could it be that the intervention of God in every single thing we experience, would do nothing but suppress the strengths and abilities God has placed in our life from coming out, allowing us to overcome the storms and difficult times we experience. If God did everything for us, we could do nothing by ourselves. Could it be that God is right there with us in our canyons? While we're stuck and we're crying and we're screaming, help, 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 do something. And God is saying, let him do it. He's got it in him to get through this. Let her be. She can get out of this. Amen? That's one of those begrudging amens. I get it. Amen. I get it. You see, many times we fail to see that the provision of God we are praying for is already in us. Put there by God. Wired in us by God to overcome difficult situations. And oftentimes the route to acquiring those strengths are not through God just miraculously giving them to us in response to an emergency prayer, but rather it's in those tough times where the blanket is pulled off and we see what strengths and abilities that have been there in us the entire time. How many know it's in the tough times where we find that God didn't make us to be weak? In fact, it's in the difficult times where so often we find that he has wired me to get through this. That he didn't make me to fail. He built me for success. You see, we all want Isaiah 40, 31. We all want this right here. To soar on wings like eagles. Like we all want this right here, don't we? We all want to run and not grow weary. Right? We all want to walk and not faint. Think about it. We all want to do that. We all want to be this. But do you know how these guys right here get to do that? Do you know how eagles learn to fly? Do you know how a baby eagle learns to fly? And their trees are up there. It's not like 2 foot and they hit the ground and climb and try again. You're up there, man. It's you better learn to fly or die. Think about it just for a second. They're put in a situation where they have no choice but to allow the strengths and abilities that are already in there to come out of the surface and get them to a place of survival. Man, think about it. Have you ever seen a YouTube learning how baby eagles learn to fly? It's not cool, man. If there was a child service office for baby eagles, I'd call them. Because it is cruel what these eagles do to get them to learn how to fly. But what a powerful point that applies to us. We'd have no idea that the ability for this eagle to do this was brought through hardship and brought through storm. And brought through tough times. He fell into a canyon and prayed to get out. What is it that you're praying for? What is it that you're praying for God to do? And he's trying to tell you, you have the abilities to do it on your own. He's already given them to you. You see, another thing that pain tries to do is limit the belief we have in our abilities to survive. I mean, no, when you're just in pain, you just, I can't make it, I can't do it. I mean, we said, I can't do it, right? So often we say we can't do it more than we can because we listen to the pain. Pain tries to limit the belief we have in our ability to survive. Can I just rebuff that and say, do you know how powerful you are? Do you really know it? Do you know how you are powerful? Everyone in this room needs to hear this, but some of you in this room right now really need to hear this. You are powerful. You are unstoppable. I mean, just Google stories of human survival. There used to be this show, and just sit back and be inspired by what you read and see. There used to be this show called I Shouldn't Be Alive. I don't know if it's on Netflix or Hulu or anything like that, but whoa, just watch those shows that just show, again, the resilience of the human spirit. There are people that are up against insurmountable odds, man, that make it through, that push through, that determine it. Can I just say, you can make it through your stuff, but whether or not you make it through depends on what you do to get through. In your trial, in your canyon, in your storm, you must realize that in you rests the God-given abilities to overcome the tough times you are facing. Come on, somebody say a good amen right there. Number two, as we journey through the mile markers that got Aaron Ralston to where he needed to be, number two, he hosted a talk show in the canyon. And I'm not talking, there wasn't an audience. He had a camcorder. Check this video out.
Good morning, everyone. It is 7 o'clock here in Canyonland, USA. And this morning, on the boulder, we have a very special guest, self-proclaimed American superhero, Aaron Ralston! Let's hear it for Aaron!
Hey. Hi. Oh, gosh. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
One thing I've learned is that crazy is one of the keys to survival. You know what I'm talking about? Like, how many know sometimes you're going to find yourself outside of the reach of other people? It's just going to happen. There will most definitely be times where you will not have the ability to lean on the faith of another person. And how many know it is great to lean on the faith of another person, especially when you feel like you're weak and yours is nothing like it. But there will most certainly be times where you and I will not have that ability. And it's in those alone moments where all you got is you. And it's in those moments where you have to be careful what you say to you. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, don't allow yourself to drown in your own drama. Like, the scriptures say that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself. Isn't that what it says? 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And David, greatly distressed, right? He's in his canyon. He's in his storm. For the people spake of stoning him. I mean, this is a disastrous situation that's happened in 1 Samuel 30. Because of the soul of the people was grieved. Every man's sons for his daughters. It says everybody's against him. But David, it says, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David was in a situation where he had no one around him to find strength in. He had no one around him to find a smile. He had no one around him to give him some sort of encouragement. He had no one, no thumbs up, no you're going to make it, no you got this. It was all weakness and defeat that he was drawing from people. All he had was himself. To incur, how many know sometimes all you got is a mirror? Right? Sometimes all you got is a mirror in your bathroom, and you got yourself where you got to go straight up Stuart Smalley on yourself, and you got to say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, right? You just got to start encouraging. How many ever been there before? I mean, I've gripped the edges of a sink before and looked in the mirror and go, come on, Kid Rose, you got this, right? You are good. You are awesome. You know, I mean, come on. We laugh about it, but we've been there. You gotta encourage yourself. Ken Tracy, who's the president of Cincinnati Christian University, renowned psychologist, says every journal of psychology he can find all says the same thing. Self-motivation will always lead one to success. Self-motivation will always lead one to success. Success. He hosted a talk show. And sometimes you just got to get crazy and encourage yourself. Do whatever it takes to get you through what you're going through. Number three, as we hit the third mile marker journey in Aaron Ralston getting to where he needed to be. He cut his own arm off. Now, to help the faint of heart, I'm not going to put a video of that moment on this screen. You're welcome. But you know, when I think about that right there, the question that comes to my mind, for those of us that get stuck in our canyons, how bad do you really want to get out? How bad do you really want it? How bad do you want to get through this tough time? What am I willing to do? What price am I willing to pay to get through this? What sacrifices am I willing to make to get to the other side of what I'm facing? I see so many people give up so easily because they feel the cost is too great. How many know at the end of the day, no matter the situation, no matter the size of your storm or your struggle, it always and without fail will inevitably come down to something called your willpower. At the end of every day, it's what's in the tank. It will come down to your willpower. You got a choice to make, man. Aaron Ralston uses this incident here as a motivational speaking tool to people all around the world. And when look at him. I mean, this is him today. Still climbing with a hook. Dude is hooking up mountains. Like, that's incredible. Like, what a stud. This guy is a beast. I mean, wow. And he uses this instance right here that you see on this TV as a motivational speaking tool to people all around the world. And when he gets to this part right here, having to cut his own arm off. Allow me to quote him. He says this: "When I was trapped there, suffering all these tremendous deprivations, I realized, watch me, that I really wanted to live. I had the opportunity to kill myself, just put myself out of my misery, but I chose life." Day Journey Church, hear the quote from this incredible man. Trauma, he says, when it happens, can be a blessing or a tragedy. It can be a good thing or the excuse we've been looking our whole lives to just check out and not try. He said this: "I made a decision that this would be my rebirth, my opportunity to get my life back. It was a gift. And given the choice to erase what happened, I would still go back there and have things happen exactly as they did." Trauma, when it happens, can be a blessing or a tragedy. How many of you today see the canyon we're in as an opportunity just to end it all? All that has to do with your willpower. But I want to say this. Some of you don't know the willpower you have in you. And you need God's truth to come alive and shine a light on the fact that you have what it takes. Because God did not create you to be overcome. God created you to be an overcomer. But Pastor, you don't know what's happened in my past. I said, God did not create you to be overcome. He created you to be an overcomer. He made you like that. You are designed to survive. Can I just say this? If this man has the willpower to cut his own arm off, to get out of his canyon, then what excuse do you and I have in staying in ours? None. God has not wired you with a spirit of defeat. God built you not to quit, but to keep going. God made you with every ingredient necessary to make it through. So get crazy. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts, right? Like, do what it takes to overcome what it is you're experiencing. My last point. After he paid the price, he walked out. What was the first point? He fell in. What's the fourth? He walked out. Come on, somebody. If you're not inspired by that, man, woo! Think about it. He walked out after 6 days. You got to find it within you to walk out of where you're at. And again, sometimes all you have is you. Again, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30, I mean, where David encourages himself in the Lord. The context around that chapter is Israel was just pummeled, man. Israel was just invaded by the Amalekites. And the Amalekites came in and again pummeled their village. I mean, killed their, in the middle of the night, just came in and killed men, killed women, they captured wives and daughters, David's own even, and other warriors and soldiers. I mean, they came in and just devastated Israel. And there, it says it was such a point of disaster and detriment. Again, they took possessions. They took their livestock. But most importantly, I mean, they stole their family, wives and daughters. They stole them, took them, captured them, enslaved them. And there's such disaster and detriment happening in Israel in this moment. You look at 1 Samuel 30 in the chapter, it says that there's such loud weeping. You can hear loud weeping and moaning and groaning from the soldiers. You can hear it from the city. And as the people, as the community, and David himself are overwhelmed with a sense of hopeless defeat. Talk about a canyon. And then, to make it even worse on David, the people start turning against him. They play a game of blame the leader, because they got to blame somebody for their pain. So let's blame David. You're the reason we're in this. And so David is just, he's the king. He's put over this situation. And he doesn't know how to get out. And he's trying to find strength in other people. And he can't, everybody's blaming him. And he's just in this place where you see David even. Mighty David. Goliath slaying David in this moment, losing heart and faith. Because he can't find, and he can't find it in people. And so what does Scripture say? This is where you find verse 6. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know what that moment looked like. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he climbed in a cave and he just started talking to himself. Come on, David, you've got this. God didn't make you to be defeated, David. God didn't make you to be overcome. God didn't make you to be swallowed up in stress in this situation. God did not leave you hanging high and dry. There's something in you. Come on, get out of you. You can do this. Something happened. Because after that moment, we see David walk out full of faith and power. After that moment, you see his faith reconnected back in his God. And he straight up ends up getting crazy, man, where he's like, come on, we're not going to take this lion down. People are moaning. He doesn't care. People are complaining. He doesn't care. He's like, come on, we're going to take back we're going to take over these Amalekites. We're going to slay them. We're going to lay a hold to them. We're going to lay siege to them. Nobody's going to take what is ours. We're going to go get our wives back. We're going to get our daughters back. We're going to get everything that we want back. And you see people, they don't want to go, but he's the king. They got to follow him. So he's like, come on, let's go. And David leads the charge. And you see this incredible scenario unfold again in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. And he goes after the Amalekites, being severely outnumbered. I'm talking 30-1. But he goes after them anyway. Stinking Leonidas 300, like it's like, let's go, right? And you see this. I love the first two words of verse 17 in 1 Samuel 30 in the Message. It says this: David pounced. David pounced, man, like a tiger on prey. It says that he pounced. It says he fought them from before sunrise until evening the next day. Did you hear that? He started fighting before sunrise and kept fighting and swinging. It says until evening the next day. And it says this, they not only had victory, but at victory such a level, it says in Scripture that none of the Amalekites got away except 400 of the younger men who escaped by riding off on camels. It says David rescued everything the Amalekites had taken. Did you hear that? David rescued everything that the Amalekites had taken. He rescued the wives and the daughters. It says nothing and no one was missing, young or old, son or daughter, plunder or whatever. David recovered the whole lot. And I love the last two words of verse 30, or I love the very end. It says, as David came out of that battlefield, he came out, you can see the smoke clearing. Man, I just want to see this in a movie. Coming out with a sword in his hand, and says, David came out before the Israelites when he had nobody to lean on. He had nobody to encourage him but himself. But he realized he was designed to survive. And there he is standing there with the smoke cleared, and it says, David shouted to the people, success. You have been designed, made, wired, created to survive. Somebody say a good amen. Listen to your pastor today. God is with you. God is with you. He's just asking you to do your part, and he'll do his. But he didn't make you to lean on him for every little thing. He gave you the abilities to do things. Do you have that picture of his face coming out of the canyon? I love this part of the video. Look at that. How many know we need this face? Right? I come this far, I'm not letting anything stop me now. Come on, somebody. We need to have that grit in our face. We need to have that determination. We need to have that kind of passion in our storm. We need to have that kind of passion coming out of our situation. We need to have that kind of passion in our battles that we face. Let's get grit and determination to say, no, that's the face right there, that nothing is going to stop me from getting to where I was made to go. Yeah, baby, I love that face right there. We got to close. Man, I could go all day on that stuff. I want you to take a 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 moment before you go. So this is the dismissal. I want you to feel free here in just a moment to dismiss yourself. But right there in your seat, some of you just need to encourage yourself in the Lord. I felt a heart as a pastor in this message to go, let's have prayer and come on up and we'll have deacons and everybody. Not that we don't do that, because we need to do that all the time. But today I felt like the Lord was saying, nope. I want them to do it on their own. They got this. They can do this. And so if you're going through a storm right now, just stay where you're at. Or just stay in worship regardless. And just take a moment and just start encouraging yourself before you go. And just start telling yourself that you can do it. Tell yourself that you can make it. Tell yourself that you can overcome. Look at those six scriptures we just read at the beginning of this talk. Tell yourself those things. Romans 8:37, in him we are more than conquerors. In all these things it says, more than conquerors through him. You are designed to survive. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for every person in this room, every single person in this room. Lord, as we receive your word, God, we pray that we live it out. And God, I pray that every one of us would have the determination alongside the knowledge that you have built us to make it. So, Lord, I thank you for every person and every moment that follows this message as we walk out of our own canyons and into the promise you made for us, oh God. Thank you for the strengths and the abilities you give us that are coming to the surface of our lives through tough times, God. It's incredible what you can do in our lives to give us and get us to the places you've made us to be. In spite of any obstacle we experience, you're such a good God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.